Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empath Truth Pursuit, the journey for all of us to start to empower ourselves and become one with the universe. Join me on this journey. I'm your host, Tanya Wimet, as we all begin our journey to pursue the best of ourselves, our souls, and lives.
Everyone, welcome. It's Friday. It's our weekend, most of our weekends. I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. I did a little twist to the show. Oh, I can't even talk. Sorry. I decided to go with my instinct and go with what my gut was telling me and reformat the whole show and go for something that I've been feeling for a long time. And I decided to base this show on so many things, like our gifts in this world that are given to us, to not be ashamed of what we have as a gift, so to get into the ability of psychic, medium. It's based on everything, life after death, like the signs from your loved ones, opening up and just being open to new things and be aware of how to perceive how another person is feeling about how you are approaching them about the gift that they have, to not judge, just to be you, to be free of what your gift is and not be embarrassed no matter what, because nobody else's opinion matters. Like, just to get into it a little bit, since losing my husband, I've always felt it, I just want to say, the energy. I pick up on energies of people. Like, I walking by, I'll just get the feeling in my stomach of that person, whether it be sad, happy, tragic. Like, I always pick up on the energy of people, and I've never really noticed until it's really strong lately, so this is why I'm coming out. I want to come out so other people aren't afraid to come out with their special gift, their purpose, whatever it may be. I don't want them to be embarrassed or to feel like they'll be judged. And I just wanted to talk about everything. This is a very, very open, like, to everything. Like, the moon phases, telepathy, meditation, everything, open to everything. So tonight I'm having a special co-host guest with me, and his name is Stephen Dimmick, and we're both going to be talking about, we both lost loved ones. He lost his husband, I lost my husband, so I'd like to talk a little bit with him, and I'm so excited, and I'm excited for all you out there listening to hear him, and he's a fantastic person, most amazing person. I like that he's brutally honest and right to the point. He may not know it, but he's taught me a lot to how to be forward and direct and not care of that. It's not about caring about what others think. It doesn't matter what other people's opinions are. It's about you and getting through your life and being strong and being true to who you are and what your special gifts and purposes are in this world. So I'm just waiting for him to call in, and he is right now, so I'm going to get him on here. Hey!
Hello!
Hi!
Hi.
Hi! I'm so excited to have you on here.
Oh, welcome to the show. I'm ecstatic.
So, how have you been? Up
I've
and
been
down,
okay.
Eh? Okay.
Up and down the roller coaster ride, and you know,
sure.
And you know, it's some days are really okay. Some days are, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love my bed. I can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know,
don't want to get out.
Having a shower.
Yeah.
You know, well, what
really?
Is a shower? That's some days for me. So.
I know. What's getting out of bed? I want to stay under the covers. It's okay.
Yeah.
The world
exactly.
Don't exist. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's 100%. Okay to be like that. It's okay to be like that.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I'm on a few different. You know, there. there's a few groups here out in California where I live that I could actually go to face to face. It doesn't always align with my schedule, and I have found some really fantastic groups on Facebook. And the beauty of that is it's available anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's any time, any place, with a bunch of people from all different walks of life, all different age groups. And, you know, we all get it. We all get the anger. We all get the stupid shit people say, you know. And, it gives us this space to be able to not feel so lonely, you know, because it's such an overwhelming, none of us are taught how to grieve. I certainly wasn't, you know. And none of my friends were, you know. Oh, you must be thankful he's out of pain.
No.
Screw you. No,
I'm not. No.
He should be sitting on the chaise lounge right now doing a goddamn needlepoint. You know, that's because that's what he took up in the last year of his life. He did needlepoint because he was so physically compromised, you know? And that's where he should be. But, you know, the universe has other plans.
And it's hard to explain, but I don't want to come across as being like mean or not knowing, like, you're crazy girl, but it's true to me. I always feel that I can't relate with someone who hasn't been through it. You can talk to them about it, but they're not knowing really what you're going through because they haven't gone through it.
No. Yes, you are correct. There's a level of empathy that seems to be finite.
Mm-hmm. And then bringing back what you said, oh, they're in a better place. That was the biggest sentence that I could not stand. That still to this day I cannot stand hearing. Like, you're seriously in front of me telling me this when I lost somebody that I loved, that I wanted to be with for the rest of my life. No, obviously it's not the better place because, I like you said, I want him here sitting on the couch next to me, not gone.
Exactly. You know, and I'm not, I think the biggest thing is that I'd really love anyone who's a widow to be able to do is to be able to find that space to be able to say, that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's insensitive.
Yeah.
You know? Unfortunately, with all the crap that we have to deal with bank accounts and insurance and, you know, creditors, debtors, whatever, everything that's involved around it, family, adding that other layer of being able to say to people, that's not helpful. I mean, it sounds just like, are you fucking kidding me? You really expect me to now say to people that's unhelpful? But that's where the change for me started to come from. You know, that's where people started to kind of, some people never asked again. Some people backed off when I'd say that. But majority of people would say, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I was just trying to be helpful. I'm like, yeah, I know you were trying to be helpful, but it's not. If you want to know how to be helpful, show
give
up at my door with a pizza.
Exactly.
You give me a hug. You know, just say, listen, I'm 30 minutes away. What do you hate on your pizza? Otherwise, I'm going to bring you an anchovy and pineapple pizza, you know. I'll be over with a pizza. I can just drop it off if you like, you know. And I say, that's helpful. Bring a stew. Bring a casserole. Come over. Wash my dishes.
Yeah.
You know?
Even just sitting with you in silence. Maybe you just need somebody to just sit there with you.
Oh, yes. How dreamy is that?
I know. It's so simple.
Yes.
It's But I love you because you're doing so many videos. And you know what? You're doing what I've wanted to do. And you know what? It's me. It's the nice in me. I swear to God, I'm never blunt like I should be because I'm always afraid. Right away I'm worried about. And really, you shouldn't be worried about what other people are going to be thinking or saying because it's your truth, not theirs. But you're doing your videos.
I love it.
So brutally blunt. I love it.
Well, it makes me, and I don't mean laugh, but it makes me laugh. Just the whole premise of a widow going, I don't want to hurt anyone else's feelings. For God's sake, your husband or your wife just died.
Mm-hmm.
Screw people's feelings. My husband's dead. My husband is dead.
True.
He's never coming back. Ever coming back. So spare me. I'm going to spare me sparing your feelings. And, you know, I'm learning how not to be, sometimes I can be brutally honest, but I'm definitely coming to a place now where I'm just like, no, that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
I love that. I love that.
And more often than not, your friends are going to then, you know, some won't know how to deal with that, and some will be resentful because they think that they're being helpful, but some will just be like, oh God, what do I have to do? You know, then they'll ask, what do I have to do? I don't know. You know,
and some of your friends just drop off because they simply don't, they're uncomfortable. They don't know what to do or say to you. That's happened to me, like,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of people.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
It's simple. Just shut up and be there.
Yes.
There's nothing to do. There's nothing to say to make it better, to make you feel better. Just when somebody comes to me and tells me they lost someone, I don't do anything. I hug them, and I let them let whatever they need to let out. That's it. There's no talking. I just hug you. I embrace you. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Or like I said, you pop in and you do this for them, or you can do, there's so many different things. You don't have to say anything. Just shut your mouth and just do.
Yes. 2 weeks ago, I moved into a new place, and I wasn't at the place before long. I was there a year and a half, and it was, it was 7 months after Jonathan died that I moved. So the last 11 months, Jonathan was, he was actively dying in that house, but I kind of only saw after he died that he was actively dying. And I had three friends who came with trucks and, trucks and muscle to help me lift and move. There would be moments that I would just start convulsing in the middle of the living room and just sobbing. It was like some kind of dark comedy because I'd just be shaking and sobbing. And, my friends would just be kind of like maneuvering around me with the furniture, And it was, they didn't try and fix me. And that's the thing. I hope there's, unfortunately, non-widows don't often engage in listening to the conversation, like listening to this kind of conversation that we're able to have tonight, because, it shows them everything that they're probably terrified of. It shows them that, their spouse may be dead one day. that's what it shows them. It shows them that they might be dead one day. And so they don't want to engage and find out. But they're the real people that need to be listening.
Right.
It's everyone else who really needs to be listening. But that's not going to happen. That unfortunately doesn't happen. That's why it is up to us to, as the widow, to be able to learn a new dialogue, learn a new way of speaking, so we're not left in this dark black hole feeling isolated and lonely because people are uncomfortable in my grief,
Right.
Because that's what it is. Everybody's uncomfortable in my grief.
Because
it's like, You can't catch it, people.
Right. No. Mm. It's not a disease. It's not the flu.
That's right. You can't catch the widow.
No. Oh my gosh. Oh man. But it is true though. I think for the most part it's people afraid of, you know what, it's gonna happen eventually. That haven't gone through
mm-hmm.
it happens to everyone. You can't stop it. It's part of life. Some maybe more sooner than later, but it's why
mm-hmm.
you know, why shy away from it?
You were young when you were really you were a young person when your husband died, right?
So yeah, I was.
You were
25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's not just the fact that he died. You know, I was 49. You were 35. It's not just the fact that he died. It's not the fact that you know, the man that I wanted to be with is gone. It's also that mourning the loss of sitting on the porch when I was 70 with him and a dog on my lap. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not
mm-hmm.
just the stuff that's happened. It's the stuff that was meant to be, the stuff that
exactly.
we dreamed of, the hopes, the future, the, you know. Some of us wanted grandkids, you know. Some of us, you know, looked forward to that idea of love and romance, you know, and marriage, you know, grandkids.
The rest of your life.
Yes.
Not the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so it's
correct.
Been 11 months for you?
No. August 1st will be 8 months.
Okay. 8 months. Oh, my God, that's grand. Another year. Okay.
Yeah.
Has there been anything
you know,
significant towards you of any kind of a sign letting you know, hey, I'm here?
The week after he died, I had an incredibly vivid dream about him. It was, you know, Jonathan died as a result of cancer treatment. He'd been 3 years cancer-free, but over those, he was 7 years altogether from diagnosis to death. Three of them were cancer-free, but the damage from the radiation to his neck is what killed him. He died of chronic respiratory failure. So when he died, I had this really vivid dream a week later. The colors were bright. He looked like a Margaret Keane painting. But not sad. The Margaret Keane paintings are really sad. But his eyes were big and blue. He looked alive. He looked fresh. He looked young, but he looked like he was 59, and he looked exactly the same as he did when he was sick and exactly the same he did when I met him. It was a very, very, I wish I could, you know, say it better than that, but he looked, it was everything about him in one visual. And it was so vivid, it woke me. I don't remember what he was saying, but the dream was so vivid it woke me. And that day I was, you know, we rented a house and it was $2,800 a month. And it was, you know, there was utilities on top of that. And, you know, it's expensive to live out here. And I just said, okay, Jonathan, can you just be really, really clear with me where I, you know, my job as a freelancer could afford a place like that, but am I working enough to afford that? I wasn't at the time. And I just said, please, could you just be really clear about where I need to live? If it's here, you know, help, where does that unfold? How does that financial kind of thing unfold? Show me. The very next day, I had a woman by the name of Sandra who 4 years beforehand, I put on Facebook because I was in Dallas on a job. And I said, Jonathan's crashing. He needs to get to the hospital. He can't get there himself. Can anyone take him? And this woman, Sandra, reached out and she said, I'm in Burbank. I'm 20 minutes away. What's the address? And she got him to the hospital. So the day after I had that dream about Jonathan, then I asked him to be really clear, because I pray to him now. She called me and she said, Stephen, my boyfriend and I are moving. He owns this property in Burbank. It's a house with a guest house with its own yard, its own entrance, its own garage. It's a cute little 850 square foot one bedroom. $2,000 a month. It's got a fire pit. It's got, you know, all the utilities are included. Are you interested?
Wow.
And I just looked up and I was like, wow, that was quick. Now, can you give me the lottery numbers?
I know.
which he still hasn't given me.
I asked for that all the time.
Know, but that was a sign for me, you know. I don't get the signs that I think, but there's signs nonetheless, you know.
Like some people expect big things. It's not always big things. It's like
something
that you know in your gut that it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a nice clear indication that okay, one of my favorite things is it odd or is it God? You know, or the universe or whatever. It's just a nice little phrase. Is it odd or is it God? So you know, I'm one of these believing skeptics with these things. You know, I believe in all of that stuff. But, you know, I'm very skeptical about it. Like, you really need to prove it, kind of thing. And so, you know, these things continue to kind of open and happen and, you know, all of that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I love that about these widow groups. If you're not on a widow group, find some. And it might not be the first one you join. You know, some of them are...
Mm-hmm.
You know, aren't great, and some of them are great, and some of them I don't like, but my friends like. You know,
right.
But connecting with other widows is
most important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went to a group, but the whole entire group, like even the people that were the head of the group that was teaching it, had lost someone.
Right.
So,
yes.
I went once, and you know what? You're not going to be healed once. You go as many times as you can. It doesn't matter. You keep signing up and going back and going back and doing what you got to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
It's important.
It really is important. That's where the freedom comes. That's where the space to, get angry. There's all these emotions that some emotions feel like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? if your spouse is dead and you're feeling that way, you're meant to be feeling that way.
Exactly. That's true. And it's a whirlwind of emotions. That's what people don't understand. And it can come in any given time, anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care where you're at, who you're with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know what? Don't be ashamed. Let it out. Like, I remember multiple times being in a crowd of people, and I'm the kind of person who always shied away from, like, crying in front of people. Now I don't care. I'll cry wherever I want. You have to. You can't keep that in.
That's true. I was in a bank, and I just, you know, if my shoulders start going up and down as I start to sob, and then I start to shake, and then I just then the floodgates open up, and this woman behind me, she didn't know what to do. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? Do I need to call 911? And I just turned and I went, it's okay. It's just that my husband's dead. She didn't know what to do. You know, she didn't know what to do. You know, and it was. But I don't want.
I want that to change. I have one name. It's change. And that's me. I've been working on my blog. You know, the blog that I do since 2011, and since I've been working so hard to make that change for others to not feel uncomfortable in your presence because you're crying about you lost your husband. And they're not knowing what to say. I'm telling you, people, don't say anything. You hug that person. Embrace that person. Let them cry.
Exactly.
Let them be angry.
Exactly. Let them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ah, yes. Yes. And, you know, any widows out there, you know, honestly, just start posting this stuff to your wall. Start posting this to your wall. Let people start to hear it. Let people start to see it. Let people, you know, they're not going to, you may not have the courage to say it, but somebody else already does have the courage to say it. So you just have to post it and let them find it. You know?
And I found that a lot. It used to frustrate me, but I find that a lot where if I post something about, like, anniversaries or Christmas, and I post them, people shy away from those posts. You get 100 likes on another post, but some people will comment, but a lot will shy away from whatever. So dealing with that too, I used to get frustrated, but I'm like, you know what? I got to be reaching someone. At least even if I'm reaching one person, then I'm fine with that. If I'm helping one person, I'm fine with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it used to frustrate me. It is a hard, it's not a hard topic. It's others that make it hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even like coming out with like, I know there's a lot of skeptics out there, but I don't care anymore. I've been going through a long time of hiding of who I am. That I don't. Mm-hmm. Why am I hiding anymore? I'm coming out now, and if you don't like it, then that's your problem, not mine.
Screw you.
Yeah.
Screw you if you don't.
And I swear, in the most tragic, I always say this, and only because I see it. And the most tragic of things, it breaks you open, and such amazing things come from that. This is going to sound so corny, but it's not. It's so true. Like, the people that go through the hardest of times in their life, as a person, the greatest things come out of it.
Is
that what I mean? Are you understanding what I'm trying to explain?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, for me,
absolutely.
Like, losing my husband, it gifted me to open up and see things through, like, a totally different view on life, like, totally different eyes. And it leaned me towards wanting, like, as you were saying, wanting to be strong and get others on board with not being uncomfortable if someone says, oh, my God, if someone says, I lost my husband, I lost my wife. And right now, even with, I'm doing a little twist on the show about empath, being an empath, having that feel. Like, I don't know. I've felt this all my life, but it's been more stronger lately. I think losing my husband, I don't know, going through what I went through has opened me up so much. Like, I can feel people. I can feel their energy just walking by them, even if they're strangers. And then it happens all the time. Like, people just flock to me, too. It's like, do I have something on my forehead? Like, they'll flock to me to tell me I'm okay with that. You need somebody to talk to? You need somebody to say hi to you? I'm going to be there. I'll be that person. I'll listen to you. I had someone sobbing that come up to me out of nowhere, a stranger, and just sobbed. He literally sobbed in front of me about telling me the things that he went through his life. I don't know these people. There's got to be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
What's the reason? The reason is because I can feel your energy.
The reason is because you're giving a voice. You're giving a voice to something that nobody's giving a voice to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that is the only way. That's the only way somebody on this side of a marriage will ever get. To reach out and let the others know that they're okay, you know, because in speaking up, others don't feel so alone.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
People feel alone. Everyone feels really alone in this, you know? And we don't have to be alone. You know, with everything that's going on, like with all this social media, none of us need to feel alone or lonely.
Never.
You know? Never. Not everyone has that ability to be able to speak up like you are or me.
I absolutely love the videos you've been posting. I said, this guy is so hardcore, raw, to the truth. Like, I every time I watch one, I'm just like, damn it.
One of my friends on one of those widow pages, she reached out. She said, oh, my God, that was amazing. I just posted it to my wall. 2 days later, she reached out to me again, and she said, I just showed it to my therapist, and my therapist was like, oh, my God, this is really fantastic.
So for me, I think I said something. Go ahead, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. I
opened up with something like, you know, for all of those who are uncomfortable in my grief, I just want to say, fuck you. And it's like, you know, and
I love it.
A widow
is,
it's true. And you know, people on our side generally aren't that easy to say fuck you, because we already feel alone. We already feel isolated. And to say that to people who are close to us feels like we might be, we're scared that they're going to, it's going to push them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you know what? The fact that our husbands and wives are dead is what's going to push people away. The fact that I speak up is just going to strengthen those relationships of people who know and love me. And the ones who are too scared, I don't need them anyway, so they'll fall away.
They weren't meant to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
If that happens. That's how I looked at it. And it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts because you lose some people that you are really, really, you know, really close to, that you thought that would never
mm-hmm.
happen, and you are, they're gone
mm-hmm.
because they're uncomfortable being around you because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to react.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry you're uncomfortable in my grief.
Exactly. I just shake my head. I'm like, oh, my God. It baffles me sometimes. But then I laugh, and I'm like, oh, well, you know what? See you later. You weren't meant to be in my circle.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it opens up the air. It opens up another arena for other people to come in and fill that. You know, and it's usually other widows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, when somebody dies, it doesn't just change our life. It does change everybody's life around us.
It does.
It changes
really
everybody's life.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So what do you, we're all here for a purpose. What do you feel
mm-hmm.
you're here for? What do you feel your purpose is?
My purpose is to speak up for those who don't know how to speak up.
I was just going to say that. I love that. Say fuck you.
Mm-hmm. to say fuck you. You know, because I see that, you know, we met a long time ago on social media, you and I, and I, you know, and it was, you know, and I've never been backward and about talking about, you know, being raped as a teenager by my uncle many times. I've never backed away from talking about, you know, when I was a prostitute, when I was a runaway. I've never backed away from talking about stuff like that.
No.
You know?
That's what I love about you, because you're so open and, like I said, brutally honest, and I love that. I love that, and it's just, you amaze me.
That's, you know, that's my job in this life. You know, like you know what your job is, right?
41 years old, I'm just getting that now.
Yes. I'm 50 in 2 months, girl. So, yes, you're right on track. You are right on track. You are so right on track.
Just as I'm going to share a little story. I was about... I'd say a month into my grieving. You're still in a fog. I don't care what anyone says. You're in a fog for at least 3 months.
Mm. Mm.
Maybe sometimes more. You know what? I don't like putting time limits on anything. And I hate when people say you're supposed to be done grieving in amount of time. Shut up. You can grieve for the rest of your life, and that's what you're going to do. It was about a month. And, you know, for some reason, I was just in a really bad spot. Of course you're going to be in a bad spot. I'm at rock bottom. I'm thinking the worst case scenario, doubting myself, doubting his love. You know, for some, you just get into that, just the way that I was. It was just me grieving, being me, whatever, doubting everything. So in the house that we lived, there was a staircase to go upstairs, and I hated, absolutely hated those stairs because every time you would go up, every stair would creak. So I'm in the house. I go into the kitchen. I remember coming into the living room, and I'm hearing steps, like someone's walking up the stairs. And I'm like, nobody's there. I'm like, what's going on right now? But I had that feeling of you're not scared. I had that peaceful feeling, comforting feeling. So I grabbed my phone, and I went upstairs. I went into our bedroom, and I just started taking pictures everywhere. And in not all of the pictures, you'll flip through them, and then the last three were pictures I showed everyone. I'll show everyone that's listening right now because there's no doubt. My husband's face was in, this is going to be horrible because everybody's like, you're not supposed to have a TV in your room. But oh well, I have a TV in my room. Get over it. in the TV, clear as day, is his face. And I just, it's like, hey, I'm coming to you, like, right now, right when you're at your rock bottom moment, to let you know. You know what I'm saying? Just one of those kind of moments. And so my husband would write a journal every night, and he had a pen that he would click at all times. So annoying. He'd be like, stop it. Anyways, after that happened, across was my daughter's bedroom, and I started hearing a clicking of a pen. And I'm like, where the hell is this coming from? I went into the room. You could hear the noise, but you could not tell where that noise, and it went on for a good 15 minutes off and on. Like, it was the most amazing. And at the same time, I'm not scared. I'm really at peace. Like, you just answered all my questions. And to this day, people think I'm crazy. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. To this day, I will smell his scent. Anytime, editing, give you time, anywhere I'm at, I will just smell him, and it's so peaceful.
Wow. You know, the day Jonathan died, I love that story because it gives us our future too. It gives us part of our future. You know, those stories, those moments. And you know, I was such a boy. I've been such a boy my whole life, and you know, Jonathan was, you know, the grounded, stable one, and you know, I was always fly by the seat of my pants, and you know, Jonathan would be always like, "What's in the bank account?" Because he always did the money. And wasn't until like the last couple of years that I started to really look at money and understand where everything was going. So I was always just like, everything's going to be fine. So I started doing that. And when he would always say, you know, I don't want to go until I know that you can really take care of yourself. I don't want to go until I know you can really take care of yourself. So the day he died, I was leaving the hospital with my friend Andy, who was with me. And, I got down into my car and I closed the door. And as I closed the door, I got this overwhelming, it was a stunning sensation of like, oh my God, you can take care of yourself now. You can completely take care of yourself now. And it was revolutionary. And that was Jonathan. That was Jonathan, you know. And there's,
and you
know it's not a moment that I, exactly. It wasn't a moment that I, it's not a moment that I thought would be how I felt or heard Jonathan, but that was Jonathan. You know?
And that's what I just want people to open up to that too. Like, open up to that part of the world. Don't be so close-minded.
I have a very, you know, in the job that I do here in Los Angeles, you know, I know some famous people, and one of my friends is, she's famous, I was at her place last weekend, she used to have a talk show, and her husband died, and you know, she's a full believer in psychics and all of that kind of stuff, and different ideas of spirituality, and people kept saying that she needed to hire this psychic. I'm calling her a psychic. It's probably another name, and you know, she said Stephen, and she said she was like, I don't want to give her my name, so I gave her my middle name. All she asked for was my name and my date of birth. My name and my age. And so she gave them her middle name. And she said, my name's Pamela and I'm 49. And and she said, okay, great, great, great. And she said, okay, wait up, Pamela, wait up. He's saying to me, and she was talking like this. I heard the recording, and he's saying, her name's not Pamela, and her name is spell it, R-I-C-K, Ricky, your name's Ricky. And I swear to God, I just looked at her and my jaw hit the ground. Her name's Ricky. My jaw hit the fucking ground. And she was like, that's just the beginning. That is just the beginning of it. And for an hour, she talked up everything. And she was just, all of these things that she was talking about was just like, oh, and she's 81, you know, it was just like time after moment, birthdays, children. It was mind blowing what this woman came to, and the messages from him, you know, for her and around her, names of her children, and her children don't have, you know, one has a pretty regular name, but the other one does not have a regular name, and you know, these names came to her, you know, so it was fascinating, just fascinating, you know. So,
and that's the whole reason, like, why I want to do this. So I just don't want people, don't be closed-minded. Open your mind a little bit. Yes, there are some people out there that gave certain people bad names, but not everyone is like that. Those are just those people. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean that everyone is like that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. There's a lot of scammers out there and all that kind of stuff who prey on people who want to know and feel and have moments of time with, you know, people that have gone, and you know, and I get that, but that was that was mind-boggling to me. So
yeah. And sometimes maybe that's what it takes for somebody who is a doubter, is like for them to be able to be in that situation and have their jaw hit the ground, like how yours did. I have a caller. Okay, who's this caller? Let's see. Why is it not letting me? I'm trying. Caller, are you there? No? Oh, hello? Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Who are we speaking to?
Speaking with Jay in Canada.
Jay in Canada.
Jay?
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
It's great to talk to you both on
Thank
the subject.
Thank you. What did you like? Okay. What would you
great
like
to have you
do?
Here.
Do you have... Yes, thank you. Do you want to share a story?
Well, my mother and my best friend passed away. My mother passed away in April, and my best friend passed away about a couple of weeks ago. And so it's been quite heavy, actually. So regarding signs. I know, I think one of them was that when I was on the computer, I was looking for something, and my mother's name popped up on the screen. So, you know, I took a screenshot of that, and I didn't get, I got some feathers.
Feathers. I wanted to talk about
feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and dreams. So.
Dreams. Dreams too.
My mother showed up in my dreams, and I think my good friend hasn't showed up yet because he's still
fairly
on the other
new.
Side somewhere. Fairly new, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lot to go through.
It is. But how
that's
comforting, like, it's
through.
Comforting to have those signs. Like, they come out of nowhere, but doesn't it give you, like, a peaceful feeling in that moment?
Yeah, yeah, it does. What I find, too, is just I just talk to them out loud as if they're here, but not in physicality, so it's kind of just talk
yeah.
to them because they're always around
mm-hmm.
us and hear our thoughts. So I just talk to them as if I'm talking to you, but
I
it's
do
just,
the same.
Yeah. I guess God's call
and
it the non-locality.
yeah. and even what you were saying
you know,
before, Stephen, you pray to your husband. I do the same thing every night, even that too, talking, praying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I say pray because I think it's something for easy for people to kind of understand. But it's me just talking to him. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know what to do today, Jonathan. You know, I really need your help today. I'm having a hard one today. You know, I imagine that would be great to do with your mom and your friend. It's Jay, right?
Yes.
Jay.
Okay. Yeah. Do you
have you?
Do you
are you?
Talk
are
to,
you? Go ahead, Stephen. Sorry.
No.
I was just going to ask if he's reached out to other, like you were saying, other people that are going through the same kind of thing. Have you found any groups or?
Yeah. Well, shortly after my mom passed away, which is about a month or so, I started looking at grief groups. And
mm-hmm.
Local grief groups, I went to a couple of them so far, and I went to one where there's a workshop, like a series, I don't know where it is, but there's one, it's a good one called, it's called Grief Share, and it's actually pretty good, it's through a workbook on dealing with grief, and that's a good one, and then there's another one that I've just signed up for, it's a 10-week, it's on grieving and different topics and things in a closed
okay.
group. And there's weekly grief groups, or not weekly, bi-weekly grief groups that I usually go to right now. And there's yoga for grief too. So I went to one of those.
Wow!
Pretty good.
Wow! I didn't know the yoga. That's amazing.
I know. Me neither.
Oh.
Have either of you heard of the Grief Recovery Handbook?
No.
By.
Oh gosh,
by?
I have it. Let me look. I got it right here. I swear I have it right here. But it is by. Sorry. I carry it with me everywhere, and just it's a workbook. So there's work to do in it, and
mm-hmm.
as well, and it is. Come on. Okay. Of course. No, I can't. I just moved into this place like 2 weeks ago, so. Nope. Can't immediately find it.
Okay.
No, it's okay.
Grief recovery. There's only one that I know of, and it was started by. It was written by. Back in the 70s the first one was written back in the 70s by a man who lost his, like, I think, 6-year-old son and another man who I think, lost a parent, and they were coming together. And I think what I'm finding out about grief as well is, you know, I hear a lot of widows when they're confronted with people saying, my best friend died or my mother died. A lot of widows, I think because they feel so lonely and isolated, I think anyone who's grieving because they feel so lonely and isolated are kind of like, how can you compare? And it's like what I loved about this book is it really helps equalize all of us in grief, because I just think grief is grief. You know, we all have our own journey with it for sure. But when we lose somebody, we lose somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lose that. A best friend, I can't even imagine what that would be like, you know?
No.
A mother, I mean, that's the person who gave birth to you. I mean, that blows my mind, you know, to go through that. And what I loved about this, it even talks about people who lose their animals. And it was just like...
Yeah.
A really wonderful book to read and you know do the work that's set forth in it, and I found it really freeing, and it also helped grow my network of support, because I was able to then listen to my friend, he's getting a divorce, and you know, if somebody had said to me, oh my God, I know what you're going through, I got a divorce and it was horrible, I would want to fucking punch their lights out. But then, so I'm reading this book, and I called my friend John one day, and he said, how are you? I just burst into tears. I cried. He just let me cry. He just let me be. And once that little moment passed, I said, how are you? He burst into tears. He cried. He was talking about his now ex-wife, his kid in college, and I'm listening to him, and I was like, I said, John, you're grieving. And he stopped and he was like, I am. He didn't even know it.
Losing a job, losing an animal, losing a house, divorce, that is all losing something that you thought would always be there.
Be there, yes.
Not always, but
just,
something that you were guaranteed to be with for a long, long time.
Yes.
All into one.
Yes. And it just expanded my network of people instantly, just being able to look at this, because we do, it is lonely and it is isolating to be grieving. It is, you know?
Yeah. And Jay, I'm glad you're reaching out. Make sure you keep reaching out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. I actually joined there's a Facebook grief support group, actually. It's pretty good, too. And, just doing different things. Been using a grief spray, flower essence spray, which is really interesting, and keep my health okay. So
that's fantastic.
It is.
How long ago did your mother pass away?
Pardon me?
How long ago did your mother pass away, and then your friend?
April. And my friend in late June.
Oh shit!
That's double.
I heard this really wonderful thing as well. You know, there seems to be this 1 year mark where people who've never been through it kind of think that, oh well, you should be over it because you've gone through the first of everything. And I saw this thing on BBC, and it was a video.
I got another call,
and
basically, you guys. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh. No, bring
her
in.
Wow, I'm sorry.
Bring her in.
So we got Jay. We got 6 minutes left. We may have to do a part two to this, you all. I'm just waiting for it to come through. I don't know if it's loading, the caller. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
Okay,
what
were we going to say? Okay, well, the show goes to the top of the hour, but it'll still continue recording after that. But
grief,
what were you gonna, did you have time to say
grief
anything?
Go ahead.
Yeah, grief never gets smaller. And in the beginning, I just said, "Oh my fucking God, it's going to be like this forever." But what I started to learn is, grief never gets smaller, but what happens is my life continues to grow and get bigger. So you know, these people who say, well, you move through it, you move on. It's like, my life gets bigger, but the grief doesn't change, you know. Mm-hmm. And just so my life gets bigger around it, but it doesn't mean that I don't collide into that big ball of grief that's in my life and it takes me down, you know. Yeah. I think that was one of the really most, really beautiful things to see, because people who aren't in our situation, they will never, they won't get it until they unfortunately get it, you know. And it's, and there's a relief to know that it doesn't get smaller, but my life will continue to grow and get bigger. You know?
Yeah. So true.
There's, and I, this is one of my biggest pet peeves, like I was talking about earlier. There's no time limit. Listen.
Mm.
No time limit when it's going to be over, because it's never over. This is something you live with. You just, like you said, you grow around it, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't like when people say you learn to live with it. You don't learn to live with it. I think you, and you don't learn. I think you would, you just let, you go on, you choose to go on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that with you. And it goes with you. And you grow from it, with it, around it. I don't know, it's hard to, it's not hard to explain. That is what, it is what it is.
Yes. Yeah, I see people. Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine the other night. I didn't even know, but his 26-year-old son died 22 years ago, and he was like, "How are you? How's everything going? With, you know, since your husband died?" And you know, I talked to him, and he said, "Yeah, my son died 26-year-old son died 22 years ago," and he burst into tears, and I was like, "Ah, I just found so much relief in seeing that." It was like, okay. This is okay. Good.
It is. It's the same here. When I see someone 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, whatever, it's so comforting to see that, because you know, like, because at times you're like, because it's been 7 years for me, you think, am I going crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something wrong with me? Mm. No, there's nothing. There's things that trigger it. There's songs. There's places. There's memories. All kinds of, like, still to this day, going past the house that we owned, I will cry like a baby.
Mm.
Because the memories are, most of the memories are all there in that area. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a timeline.
I was driving in the car today, and I had my music on, and all of a sudden this little boppy little, you know, techno dance track came on, and it was like, I just remember Jonathan doing a really silly dance to it, and it's like, it's really upbeat and really alive and really, it's such a happy song, and I was just sobbing in the car, you know, sobbing in the car, and it was like, this is not a song that people are going to hear and go, oh, I don't get that, I don't want, you know.
So to Jay. Power.
It holds us.
Yep. Yes.
There it goes, but we can still keep chatting if you guys want to. Just, I think it's important for you right now. Well, you know what's important for you. I'm not even going to say. Just keep reaching out to people. That's all.
Yeah.
Keep reaching out. Yeah. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say what you feel. Don't be afraid, like I was talking about earlier, to cry in a crowd. Whatever the emotion, whenever, wherever, let it. And if it's other people around you are uncomfortable, then that's their own fault, not yours.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. And keep your eyes out for those feathers, for those, like we were talking about, those feel-good moments. That you know where it's coming from, because those are the moments. That to me are the most amazing thing, like little miracles. For me, they're little miracles.
Yeah, they are.
Your friend
Jay.
Will be around soon. I'm sure of that. Your best friend will be around soon. You'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
And it may not be how you expect it as well, Jay. You know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Let me be part of the show.
Yeah, you got it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take
Thank
care.
Thank you for calling, Jay. You too, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
That was so wow. How beautiful.
That was.
How beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're beautiful. Thank you for being here.
Oh,
and if dark. I do... I absolutely love you, and you know I do. Keep being your rock.
I do. I will.
Go ahead.
And please put this on. Please send me the link to this
I
can put it in the widow groups.
I will for sure. And if I do have, I want you on again. That's it. Whenever, wherever, I'll let you know. We'll do it again.
Absolutely. And
okay.
I think maybe the next one, let's have a little bit of a powwow about I'd love to do a little bit of a documentary.
Okay.
On
That's
grieving.
Cool. Yes.
And not necessarily the widow. I mean, of course, that's going to be part of it, but the... But stupid shit people say and what they can do instead of leaving it all on the widow.
Right. How was
maybe
it?
We
That's
can
what
call
I
it.
To
maybe.
Say. Go ahead.
Maybe we could call it that stupid shit people say when your husband's dead.
I love it. And you know what? I wanted to say this earlier, but I think you did. Why should we feel uncomfortable? You know, sometimes have you had this where you feel uncomfortable about the way you're feeling because you don't want, because of the
yes.
people around you? No, that's not how it should be at all. And I want that in 2018. I want all of that to stop. I am determined that I want that to stop. There's no reason. We're the ones suffering. How are we feeling guilty because we're feeling the way we feel around people? That's not right.
Yes, 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 fucking yes.
I'm looking forward to that documentary. And you always know that I'm around when you want to vent, right? You know this.
I do. And
I don't give a shit what time it is. 2 a.m, 4 a.m, I don't care. I'm here. You know I'm here. You know that already.
I do. I absolutely do. But you know what? I want to vent to the people who are fucking spewing their bullshit. That's who I want to vent to. You know, I don't care.
Yes.
If I don't care if they look at me like the angry widow. It's just, oh, there's one, the angry widow. I think that's good too.
Yeah, we're angry because you're making us feel uncomfortable in our time of need. Of course we're going to be angry.
No, you're not making me feel uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable because my husband's dead. That's your
exactly.
fucking shit to deal with, not mine.
Exactly. Thank you. Hallelujah to that one. I love it. And you too, sir. You keep looking for those signs. Little miracles, I'm telling you.
I will. I absolutely
and
will.
And I want to hear. Every time something happens, I want to hear the stories.
You got it. You fucking got it. And
okay.
Ditto. Ditto, ditto, ditto. And I knew your husband died, and it was just so it's weird. I don't even know what I'm trying to say about it. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but it was just interesting. You know, to be on this side now and to kind of...
To look back
at you, you know?
Mm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and...
You weren't an idiot. You weren't an idiot and said that he's in a better place. You never said, you know what I liked about you? You just knew, I just knew you were there to talk.
Mm.
You totally approached it right. You were very smart.
Mm. Wow.
Sure.
It's fascinating,
sure.
Isn't it?
Yes. We're definitely doing this again, though. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. I look forward to it. My pleasure, sweetie. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, darling.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you have a good weekend. See you next weekend. Bye.